couple of scriptures to give some context. I'm going to talk first of all about experiencing the presence of God, and then I'll tell you a few stories about what that has been looked like for me, and then the power of God. They are very related, because where the presence of God is, the power of God shows itself, because he cannot be somewhere and not show his goodness, his love, his power. Where things don't fit with his kingdom and how he is, he starts to change them, and it is amazing. Anybody who tells you that Christianity is boring has not found out what Christianity is, and that's the truth, because it's the biggest, the greatest adventure you could ever imagine. I love my life, and I love it because I love God and he loves me, and I know the reality of what it is to hear from him, to talk with him, to see him move. And if I can do anything, it would be to inspire other people to hunger after him. Okay, if my life's legacy could be one thing, it would be that. Provoke other people to hunger after God, because honestly, it's the best thing you could ever experience. So if you can get your Bibles out, or on your phone, or wherever you have them, okay? If you don't have one, then listen very carefully, because these scriptures are quite important. So could somebody turn to Matthew 22? Verse 37, and read it for us, please. Don't be shy.
And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind."
First commandment, the first and the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You don't do that overnight. It's not something that all of a sudden you become a Christian, oh, and I love the Lord with all. It doesn't work that way. It's a growing thing, because the more you experience God, the Bible says, taste and see that God is good. The more you experience God, the more that love grows for him. Okay, but that's the commandment that Jesus gave. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Could somebody turn to Psalm 27, verse 4? This is one of my favorites. Walk through the Bible. Go ahead.
"One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek and inquire for and insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness and delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider and inquire in his temple."
Honestly, David was king. He had people, other kings and queens, coming from all around the place to come and see him, to be in his presence. And what did he want? "One thing I ask, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, to behold him in his sanctuary." He caught hold of something, he saw something, and it made him hungry for more. And the last scripture, Jeremiah 29, verse 13. That's key. You want to know God, seek him with all your heart. And the reason why I wanted to give these scriptures, because they really tell a story of my life. I remember I was in a youth choir. I grew up in the Salvation Army, which was brilliant. I've still got really good friends there. It gave me such a passion and commitment and a calling for helping the disadvantaged, and I'm grateful for that. But I didn't really learn about the Holy Spirit. They taught about the Holy Spirit, but they didn't teach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the gifts. They do in certain congregations, but just not in Northern Ireland. And one day at a youth event, a mate of mine from Lurgan, he got up and he was talking about this something he read in the Bible, and he was so excited about it, and it really hit me. I was like, hang on a minute, what's going on here? Lord, I want to hunger after you. If he is excited about knowing you, about being involved with you, about reading the word, I want that, because I don't want to read it and it to be dry and to be like, right, I'm falling asleep. Okay, so I needed God's touch. I said, God, make me hungry for you. 6 months later, a man came to speak to me at the end of church. He'd come to collect his daughter. And he was talking to my cousin, and I kind of earwigged in, as you do. And he started to talk about the Holy Spirit and about being filled with the Holy Spirit to overflow. And as he talked to me, my heart was up here at my throat. The colour drained from my face and tears just started to stream. And it wasn't like I was crying. I couldn't help it. It was just tears streaming down. I said, I don't know what's going on. And he said to me, you're hungry. See, God heard my prayer for hunger. And he answered that prayer. And his advice to me was this, and it changed my life. Go home, shut the door in your room, and just start to praise God and tell him how much you love him because you're hungry and he will meet you. And I did that. And the presence of God started to come. So just in my room by myself, I could feel the presence of God just in quietness. I just said, Lord, I love you. You're amazing. I want to know you. And I didn't have lots of words. It wasn't big, eloquent, fancy prayers. It was just, Lord, I love you. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. There has to be more than this. Your word says that you will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Well, I'm asking. And God did that, and I received more of him. That started the adventure. I learned to hear God's voice. And then just his presence. And I became more and more hungry for the presence of God. I'll tell you a few stories about my experience of that. Whenever I was living in London, I lived there for 11 years. I know I don't look that old, but I am. And I was going to a church called Westminster Chapel. I was just at home, just in my room, worshiping God. I love you, Lord, you're great, blah, 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 singing, whatever. And he interrupted me. And he said, I want you to send some roses to the pastor's wife. And I was like, is this you? So I kept little books of what I felt God was saying. So I wrote it in my book, put a wee question mark beside it. I thought, right, okay, well, tell you what. If I still feel like this tomorrow morning, that this is you saying this, I'll do it. Because worst case scenario, she thinks I'm a bit of a nutter, but she gets nice flowers, okay? Best case scenario, this is really you, and she's going to be blown away by your love for her. So the next morning, I still felt this, no, I need to do it. So Debenhams, online, off we go, aqua pink roses, sent. A couple of days later, she rang me. She said, you have no idea what that meant. Yeah, I didn't. I had no clue, you know. And she said she had been going through a really hard time the week before. And she prayed and she said to God, Lord, I know you love me. And I know you're a good father. But I need you to show me. Can I have some flowers? Now, I just got to be part of that. That was a huge privilege, you know, for me to be part of God expressing his heart of love for someone. But imagine that you are praying, God, can I have some flowers? I'm really struggling. And the next week, there's a knock on the door, a thing of flowers with a note from God saying, from me saying, God is saying he wants to romance you in a different way. Now, she was in tears. I was in tears. It was so amazing to me to see, to witness God's love shown in that way. Another time, which was more life-changing for me, I guess, was whenever, again, I was in my room worshiping and God interrupted and said, I have a Boaz for you, Carlos. Okay. I had no idea. I wrote it in my book, question mark, Boaz, Boaz? I don't really like the Book of Ruth. What are you talking about Boaz for? Nothing to you, Ruth, nothing to you. Just the story of the Book of Ruth. I was like, what? Why Boaz? What's this about? So I started to think, well, you know, he was a leader, he had authority, he had compassion for the poor, he was wise, blah, blah, blah. Totally missing the point. It wasn't until some years later, about 4 years later, and I was in Mozambique. And it's another story, all bombs going off and everything. I really pick my times. But anyway, I was in Mozambique, and in the middle of all of these munition dumps exploding and shells flying and all of this, the penny drops. Ruth, in obedience to God, following God, left her homeland and ended up serving in Boaz's field. And I realized that the person God had for me, my husband, was going to be a foreigner. Let me introduce you to Carlos. I really was amazed by that. And yet, looking back on it, it was so obvious. But God is intensely interested in everything in our lives. And if you think about it, who you're going to partner with for the rest of your life is a pretty major decision. So, of course, he's going to be interested in that. Even going to Africa was an incredible journey. And I just don't have time to go into all of it. But just over a period of years, people here, God spoke to me about loving the poor and about the developing world. And just everywhere I would go, people who didn't know me would start to prophesy. God's saying to go to Africa. You know, when God tells you to go to Africa, you need to just go. And then it became more and more specific about a particular ministry that Carlos was working for. I hadn't met him. I didn't know anything about him. You know, God's calling you to a ministry like this. Have you heard of this ministry? God's calling you to a ministry like this. And by this stage, I was just laughing. You know, when people said it, as soon as they said, have you heard of this ministry? I thought, oh, here we go. Here we go. See, God was on my case. Why? Because I love him. I'm available for him. I'm abandoned to him. Whatever you want, Lord, I want to do it. You know, because I've tasted and seen that God is good. I just want to challenge you about that. You know, life is short. And life is short, and there's a world that really, really needs transformed and needs to experience the kingdom of God. Not religion like we do in Northern Ireland. We do it so well. But the kingdom of God, okay? And we carry that kingdom, so we can't sit about. Going to church every Sunday is great, but there's so much more to that. You know, my thing was, God, I don't want to just go to church every Sunday. I've got other things I could do. You know, I need to know the reality of this, and I don't want to settle for less than that. I'm just going to quickly talk about the power of God because I don't want to take Carlos's time. But in Mark 16, verse 17 and 18, if someone just wants to get that up and read it for us, that'd be really helpful. It's very famous. You'll all probably know it. Mark 16, 17 and 18. I'll just read it for speed here. Whoever believes and is baptized, 17, 18. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. That's for people who believe. That's not for our mega celebrity Christian superstars. That's for all of us. These signs follow those who believe. What do you believe? That God is God, that in God all things are possible, that he is inherently good, and that he manifests his power and his love through his people. Okay? I know Christian pastors in Mozambique who have eaten poison and are still alive. The people who tried to poison them can't believe it. I've seen demons leave people in the UK, in Africa, in Russia. I've seen it. Okay? Why? You know, we all sing that old song, or you'll probably associate it with people who preach on the street maybe these days, but there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. It is not screaming, shouting. I know sometimes you see people on TV, and the louder you shout, the more anointed you are. It's not that at all. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. A few little things that I've seen. Down in the southwest of England, down in Exeter, I think it was, I was at a conference there, and the guy who was leading it stood up and he said, this is the first time I've ever seen this happen, God is going to release a healing wave, which means that just as we praise and worship God, all of these people are going to be healed. I was like, okay, this is interesting. And then he said, but before he does that, he often does signs and wonders. So don't be surprised if you see jewels appear, or you see gold, find gold dust in your bag, or a filling becomes gold or something like that. Oh, okay, let's see, this is going to be interesting. Well, it happened, and I saw diamonds form in midair in front of my eyes and fall to the ground, and I actually lifted one up, and then maybe I was being a bit religious, but it was like, that's too holy. I'm not going to take it. Well, I wish I'd put it in my pocket, you know, but put it up on the platform. And God did heal a lot of people there. Nobody touched them. Anybody who wasn't healed was partially healed came down to the front and said, why? And it was just, in Jesus' name, healed. What's wrong with you? What's still happening? Where have you got pain? In Jesus' name. It's the power of God. And that was in England. In Africa, in England as well, sorry, I've seen legs grow and so on. You know, someone who suffers from chronic pain in their pelvis and they can't sit in the car for a long period of time. It was my mate. And actually, whenever we licked his legs, one was slightly shorter than the other. Prayed for him. Legs, same length. Okay? God's love. In Africa, up in the north of Mozambique, we were doing a village feeding program, and all these kids come in. This might be the only meal that they get that day. And we're just doling out food. But more kids came than would normally come. And the word went back to the kitchen, make more. There'll be a riot. Like, this is the only food they're going to get. Like, they will kick off, okay? Quick, go and make more food. But we kept going. It just kept going until the last person got their food. God multiplied the food. Amen. Isn't God good? Can you believe that? Like, he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. But here we are, 2008, I think that was, 2008, and he multiplies the food. It just keeps coming out of the pot, you know, when twice the number of kids appear. In Zimbabwe, we were out, we were preaching in Zimbabwe. We helped to plant a ministry there. And out in the bush, and Carlos was preaching. We had some friends from America and so on. And there was a blind lady, got her sight, and a wee deaf boy can now hear. And that is the reality. In terms of seeing God deliver people, you know, you could be at church and you hear someone, a hissing sound behind you, and the lady behind you is hissing like a snake. We don't see so much of that here in the UK, but I have seen it. And anyway, so just very gently, you know, in Jesus' name, be free. In Jesus, it's just an oppression. Like, we shouldn't be afraid of these things, okay? Because healing and deliverance are just two sides of the same coin. They're both healing. You've got physical healing and you've got spiritual healing. And then we were at a funeral. This was whenever I really was like, whoa, Africa's something else. But we were at a funeral and a guy fainted, or so I thought. Okay, but Mr. Discernment over here was like, no, that's a demonic thing. We need to go and pray for him. I was like, Carlos, get him some water. It'll be all right. No, come on, just put your hand on him. And sure enough, he coughed up this foul-smelling stuff. Okay, and what it was, a demonic oppression, and God was setting him free. Okay. On the bus, whenever we got on the bus, we were on our way back from Shai Shai, which is the most beautiful place. And these Shappas, and they're called Shappas, they're like little mini buses where they put in too many seats. Okay. And I was literally squashed in at the very corner. So if there was anybody who couldn't get out in a hurry, it was me. So it was literally like this with your knees up at your face and awful. But as soon as I sat down, I was like, this isn't good. There's something not right here. We need to get off. But the thing started to move. I said, Carlos, we need to get off this. There's a problem. And he said, just pray in tongues. So we started to pray. And about an hour into the journey, another vehicle is coming straight at us at speed. Was it lorry? Coming straight at us at speed. The minibus driver veered suddenly. Everybody screamed. The woman beside Carlos, it was me, Carlos, this woman, she manifested a demon right there. Praying for her. Yeah, okay. I don't know if you heard that. Carlos was saying that he believed that she had actually been sent to bring a curse on that bus. But God intervened, okay? You can't ignore God speaking to your spirit. Now, I know this is Northern Ireland, and I know that all sounds a wee bit crazy, but I've seen people set free in a living room, in a house group, okay? Our spirituality looks different, but it's still there. And our biggest problem in Northern Ireland is denial of spirituality. Okay, and this is why people are starting to look at New Age stuff. I was at a mate's church a few weeks ago. We were helping out. He's planting a church in Carlisle Circus. It's a really difficult part of Belfast. And as I was, they just said, you know how you do, how Wayne did, turn around and say hello to somebody. And then he said, no, start and pray for each other. Well, this woman came over. As soon as she sat down, God's like, I wanted her to stop meditating on death. Oh, thanks for that one, God. You know, hello, I'm Jeanette, by the way. But actually, we had time later on to properly talk. And she had, she was from a very traditional Catholic background. And they kind of meditate on the death of people they love. And she'd started to go to mediums and stuff like that. You know, and God was saying, no, I called you into life. Stop meditating on death. She was blown away. I was blown away. I was a bit freaked out as well that he asked me to say it to someone that I've never met before. But there we go. If you're available, you're going to be available. All right. But it starts with hungering after God. It starts with loving God and wanting to know more. God doesn't have favorites. That's the thing. This is a believer's anointing, this thing about casting out demons and healing the sick and da da da. That's for all of us. And, you know, it's just taking the step into it and believing, okay, you said this. Now I want to see you do it, God. Okay, I'm going to choose to believe you, and I'm going to throw myself out there and see what you do. You know, but it's, you've got to spend time in the presence of God, because at the end of the day, that's where we become transformed to be more like Jesus. And when he comes back, what's he looking for? He's not looking for miracles and signs and wonders. He's looking for how much like his son we are. You can only become more like his son by being with him. Because what is it they say? What you look at, what you behold, is what you start to become. Who your friends are, you start to become more like them. So make Jesus your friend. Okay, spend time with him. Okay, so Carlos, would you come and take over?
And so from 2011, the Lord has been taking us through another long journey. And we know it's going to be a long journey because we have decided anything we do, we want to do if the Lord says so. Even being here, I've had people who know I have been involved in ministry for 15 years. They come and they get up, stand up, go preach, go do this. It's amazing to speak. It's good. I know the word of God. I've been through Bible college. So I could tell you verses and you'd be like, oh, he knows his Bible. But it's not about that for me. It's about knowing he is saying so. It's about knowing his presence will be with me. Moses wouldn't do anything unless he knew God was coming along. God was going to be there. You know, the only thing that set Israel apart from other nations is that the presence of God was with them. God was dwelling amongst them. We have as many churches as we can have. We can go out and plant. We can have all sorts of gatherings. But if the presence of God is not there, it's going to become that thing that we all know. Comfortable. Sermon well done, worship done in a professional way, all of that. But if it's all done in the presence of God, seeking him with an honest heart, we will be blessed. We will see nation change on a direction to heaven, to God, to a place of rest, like the Israelites were being led to. And actually, Moses said to them, you know, when you arrive there, you will eat and rest in God's presence. Amen. And that is a great place to be. Sorry, I will keep saying amen until I get my African thing out of me. I would like to read a verse from the book of Acts 12:11. 4:20. The boldness of Peter under the influence of the Holy Spirit has for us. We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Amen. It's about what we have seen, what we've heard. I will make a long story short. I got saved, I was 17. Actually, when I grew up, I didn't want to know anything about God. Football was good enough for me and all other things I was doing. So I never knew my father until I was 17. When my mother was pregnant of me, my father wanted to kill her. And she knew this was the end, and so she left him. And as soon as she left him, she found my stepfather, and they lived together for as long as my mom lived. The interesting thing, my father was a man with all the money of the world, and he worked for the first president of Mozambique, so he really had all the connections he would want. The horrible thing is that almost in each province of Mozambique, he had a woman, a house, and children. He was under such influence of wanting women, So I was 17, and my heart was like, I never knew my father. I want my father. My mom sent me to school, and school wasn't doing well. And then when I was 11, I had to drop school because mom wouldn't afford any more school. So I lived at the street for 1 year. She cast me out of the house because I wasn't doing what she was telling me to do, etc. She was very traditional. She went to church, of course, but wasn't for her. It was all up here and wearing white uniform and look great so that everyone will see, oh, there's the leader of our church. Anyway, at the street, let me tell you a short thing. I used to lift clothes from the ground or anything I could find from the dump to it. And I found this big underwear. I had to tie on the sides so the underwear would fit me. You know, I cry sometimes when I remember that, but the Lord was on a process of getting me out of something, I believe. Anyway, when I found my father, I'm trying to cut the story. He was living with two women. And he said, my son, you're welcome. We can live together. And one of his wives was going to this little church with three people. And she used to tell me, you have to come to our church. Carlos, you have to come. I said, no, I'm not going with you to church. First, I want to find a good job, build a good house, and have a beautiful wife. Then I'll go to church. So I had choices, dreams, things I wanted for myself. But I had nobody to help me through my dreams or things I wanted, or anybody to even hear what would be the beatings in my heart. One day I decided, okay, I will go with her to church. When I went, we're just four women under a small tree, sharing the Bible, praying. And I thought that was strange. There's no men here, only women. And this woman from South Africa, she spoke about God's love, how God loves us more than our earthly parents. So I started crying. Tears were falling off my face. And the woman gave me a small Bible, a New Testament, written in my language. When I opened, I went to the verse that says, the harvest is plenty, but workers are few. From that day on, I began going house to house. When I went to play football, I would tell my mates about Jesus. I told people, come to my church, come to my church. In about 3 months, we had about 300 people come to church, which was amazing. You should say yeah to that. Anyway, that was a blessing. It's good to get people come to God. Amen. It's good to get people come to church. Even if they haven't lived in his presence, they will get God along the way because God is on a move. He knows what he's doing. From that time on, I was 17. I just began planting churches. I saw myself involved in all sorts of ministries. In 2011, I left the area where my father lived. We went 2000. I went back to Maputo, which is the capital city of Mozambique. That's where our house is. I met a group of young people. They loved God. All they would do is to practice the gifts of the Spirit. We would sit, maybe it's Kyle. For example, we wanted to practice healing, and I would ask him, do you have any pain? Would I pray for you for anything? Yep. And then he would say, yes. So we would ask him to raise his hands, if I'm not offending you. And we would pray, Lord, I ask you because you promised in your word that you are God who heals. Heal him now in Jesus' name. And like playing, we were not too serious, but God knew we were seeking him. We were seeking his presence. And then we would ask Kyle, how are you feeling? Do you still have the pain? And Kyle would say, no, it's gone. It's gone. She's your blessing, man. And we practiced all sorts of spiritual giftings. We were not, okay, guys, the Bible says, so the Bible says, if you have a word of encouragement, if I'm shouting, I'm sorry, you have to get up and encourage people. But anyway, it's God who gives you the word of encouragement, and so you encourage people as the Holy Spirit speaks. Amen? It's God who gave you the singing gift. When we get together, you should be able to sing and encourage the church. Amen? It's God who gave you the healing gift. When we get together, you should be looking, how can God use me that way? And pray for people who are sick and see them healed. The spiritual giftings are not just tools that the church talks about. They are tools we can practice them. We can train ourselves each day. How can we master these gifts when we get together? And actually not want to be singing when you know you could be praying for healing for other people. Not wanting to be preaching when you know you actually could be serving tea, coffee, or etc. This woman, we were planting church in this certain area. I prayed for her. She was blind. Her name is Aventina. She lives next to us in Mozambique. And when I left to South Africa, I came back. The church told me she had her sight back. And I asked God, what happened? And she came to me. In Mozambique, respectfully, if you are pastor, people will say, papai, papai, which is daddy. Then, papai, papai, I'm healed. I can see you now. I thought you were a big man with a big belly when you prayed for me. So I said to her, great. I'm not a big man. I'm actually your son. I just happened to be used. Anyway, God's favor. And she's still going to church. She's amazing. We still support her, help her. She's very poor anyway, but we help her and her family. And the other story I could share is I was planting church in another area near Swaziland. And Mozambique, it's very oppressed, very religious, very difficult. People full of witchcraft as well. People would do anything just to have you dead or killed or not succeed in life. You know when people are extremely jealous of those who succeed. As I was planting a church, I could go some days hungry. I think, Helen, you know about that in Africa. I could go some days hungry because I had no money. I had no food. No one to support me. I had fire inside. I knew I wanted to serve God. And I could never give up on the dream, on that. Came wherever had to come. I was ready to serve God. Amen. It's a choice I made. Some days I would go hungry and I would go up in a mountain to fast. When I say fast in Africa, you fast everything. It's not just fasting TV. You fast everything, like the Old Testament way of fasting. And so I went up on a mountain to fast. Sometimes I would come back, preach. I would see people healed, saw all sorts of things happen at church. This time I was sleeping. By midnight, I had 2 days without food. Not because I was fasting, I didn't have food. I didn't have anything, but I was leading a church. People at church knew I had nothing, but it has to be God providing. Amen. And this woman came crying in midnight, knocking at the door. Pastor, Pastor, my son is dead. How long has he been dead? 3 hours. What happened? No, he just started shaking and white things coming out of his mouth, and he fell down. Take him to hospital. What do you think I will do? Take him to hospital. The hospital is not far. I don't have a car. She said, maybe we could pray. You really believe we could pray? Maybe we could pray. Okay, put him here. I didn't have a bed. I was sleeping on a mattress. Put him here. When I say mattress, it's made by sticks in Africa. It's not like mattress here. And she put him there. I said, let's pray. So I just put my hand on his chest. All I could say is, Jesus, you're powerful. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Yes, we love you. You're more than welcome here. We love you. Fill our hearts with your presence. We were seeking his presence, and the woman was crying. Yes, come, Lord, come. She was repeating after what I was saying. So I think we both of us got into agreement in the spirit. 2 hours went. The boy is still sleeping. Woman, take your son to hospital. I think we are done here. By the time we're opening the door, and she was about to pick him up and go, he coughed. I was like, oops, something happened here. And then he was up, he was asking for water. We gave him water. I said, all right, I want sleep now. Go home. She went home. Next day in the morning, she went to hospital. They said there are no symptoms of anything. He's fine and well. Okay, she came back to church. She gave testimony. And that it's a blessing to know that God can use you. To know that God is with you. You have to trust him. Sometimes you don't have to bring your heart up and know that you believe, but you can seek his presence when you don't believe in anything. I think that's what we did there. We just knew his name was powerful, and if we invited his presence, would come and fill that place. And so the boy, every time I go to visit that church, he comes to see me. This is the one who brought me to life. No, he did. He did. So it's been an interesting journey. It's just a glimpse of what we've been up to in life with God. And thanks for giving us the opportunity to share something. I don't know if there's anything you would like us to pray for you this morning, or if you would like to take a minute and pray for something in your life that you would like the power of God revealed, that would be great. Don't fear. Very often I found myself with things troubling me, and they were stopping me from actually seeking God. And sometimes my mind would also stop me from seeking God, seeking His presence, and see His power revealed in my life, in my family, community, in everything I did in life. I trust in God. I know His presence is here with me, is within you. We just have to awaken that and have this church alive as it is anyway, and move on and reach communities, cities. And once you test God's presence, that will lead you to more. You will want to test more of that. There's no going back, but always moving on. I know for sure. And God is calling some of you to test His presence.